I end up gotten irritated to loving the good deeds. I've gotten spurred. I've gotten provoked to loving the good deeds. Really? But I mean, there's been some negativism, but that's been the sin in our lives, doing that. But by us coming together, I've been provoked to more good than bad here by you. What say you? Have you been provoked to more good and more love than to bad by assembling? Consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Somebody didn't care about that this morning. Not forsaking or assembling together, as is the habit of some. You can just hear the disdain in the voice, in that little phrase there, as the habit of some is. Notice he didn't say it's some sweet brethren. He just says some, I like that. But encouraging one another. You want encouragement? There's the encouragement. Here, be here. This to us is not encouraging. I hope it is to you because it shows the need that you understand something. And if you haven't understood, you're here for some other reason, you can repent this morning and be here for the right reasons from now on. Encouraging one another. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to encourage you. You're here to encourage me. And we're here to encourage one another to love and to good deeds. And part of that love and part of that good deeds is to warn brethren, to call brethren, to find out if you need to pray for brethren, help brethren. Now, let me tell you something. If one of our brothers this morning needs help and we're thinking about playing ball and making a little call before, we need to repent. We need to be willing to take the time and make the time to find out what people are hurting about. To really sit there and say, brother, we really need to talk, we really need to pray, why did you miss this morning? After he already tells you that nothing's that wrong, you know. And if he tells you, my kid is hurting and I couldn't go, what was your wife doing? Well, she wanted to sleep late. Or my car broke down, right? When did it break down? Well, last Tuesday. You could have called. Yeah, I didn't want to bother anybody. You say, brother, you can lie to yourself, but you can't lie to God. That's a crock. We need to be playing with one another. I say, don't you love Jesus enough to want to be there, no matter what it takes? If there was an edict that said, anybody that tries to worship in the YMCA under the name Church of Christ or anywhere else on Long Island will be put to death, I guess we know where you'd be. Home safe in bed, wouldn't you? And we're not asking anybody to fight that now, are we? Are we? Are we asking anybody to deal with torture and death? Are we really? No, not at all. Man, you're not going to give up a half an hour of sleep. You're not going to give up your life for Jesus. Not forsaking or assembling together, but as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. The paragraph, is that supposed to be a new paragraph there? The translators put the paragraphs there. For is a reason. Is it like a therefore? What's a therefore? When you see a therefore, what's a therefore? When you see a for, as you see the day drawing near, for, because it's related to the verse before it. He's saying, look, don't forsake the assembling ourselves together, for if you go on sinning willfully, what's the willful sin? A continual willful sin. Go on sinning willfully. It's the habit of forsaking the assembly. It's a continual, habitual practice. If you go on doing this, if you keep going down that road, there no longer remains any sacrifice for sins. After you know the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. As far as Jesus is concerned, he didn't die for you. I mean, as far as his blood is concerned, it doesn't cleanse you. He died for you. Take it back. Change it. He died for you, but it does no good for you. It's of none effect, Paul says. In Galatians chapter 5. There are people that we've worked hard to baptize. It seems like we wanted a notch on our Bibles, like a notch on a gunslinger's gun. And we don't care what happens to them after they get baptized. But it does them no good if they continually sin this way. It is a sin not to be here this morning. Or somewhere with the Lord's people this morning. It is a sin not to deal with the local body on a local level and in your expression and love and devotion for Jesus and tell them if you're going to be somewhere else that you're going to be. It's a sin not to tell them. It's a sin not to take care of business at home. It's a sin not to supply which you're supposed to supply by the proper working of each individual part. It's a sin not to properly work as a part of the body of Jesus Christ in the local situation. It is a sin. And if you go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sin. Let me tell you how serious it is. But a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. You better not be comfortable in missing church and forsaking the assembly when saints are assembling. And the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Jesus is just somebody says, why didn't I get in? I thought I was going to be saved. Now I can't get out. Well, yeah, you get out, but then you get what you had before you got in. You can leave any time. But you can't expect to take with you salvation and good news outside of Jesus. You can have what you had before you got in is what you can have. But if you want Jesus Christ in heaven and you want to assemble around God's throne with all the saints for all eternity, then you have to consider how to stimulate one another to love and the good deeds and not by forsaking our assembling together. Bottom line is this. If somebody's not here this morning and it's all that not all that important to them, if it kind of bothers them, and sometimes it's even an irritation to them to have to do that, you think God's going to punish them with an eternity of that? I bet you God won't disappoint them. He wouldn't put them through that. You know, sitting around his throne forever in heaven. He'll let them go to the other place if that's what they want. I'm looking forward to seeing God singing around his throne forever, serving him in heaven. That's what the Bible promises me. Beyond that, I don't know much of what's going to happen up there. I know a lot of what's going to happen down there, and screaming's enough for me. I don't want to be there. I have no kinky, weird pleasure in burning forever. I have no desire to fry. I've been burnt in different parts of my body. It's not fun. It hurts. I'll show you my scars from my wood stove anytime you'd like to see them. Every time my hand touches the edge, I'm branded. For if we go on sinning willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Now look, well, that's talking about the Old Testament. No, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's the Old Covenant. Now you get to talk about the new, but how much severe punishment? Worse, not lighter, worse, much more severe punishment. Do you think he will deserve who has, and this is the issue, you miss church, you forsake the assembly of the saints, you're not meeting to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, you're not meeting to remember his death, you're not meeting to break bread with the disciples. This is the bottom line. You've trampled underfoot the Son of God. You regard it as common, unclean, icky and stinky, his blood of the covenant by which you were sanctified. And you have insulted the Spirit of grace. Pretty bad. That's why it goes on to say, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Is it sometimes appropriate to preach a little terror, a little hellfire, a little brimstone, or a lot of it? It was here. Why? What made it appropriate here? I would suspect that they were probably having record attendance. at some of their services, at some of their assemblies. Wouldn't you suspect that? Since that's an issue that he was dealing with in the habits of. Well, isn't that the way it always is? He's preaching to those that got this letter and that are faithful and are always there. But yet, why? Could it be that he wants them to plead with those that weren't? Could it be that he wants each of you to evangelize in the body as well as out of the body? Share the good news. Tell the people how much you love them, and tell them how much you miss being provoked to love and to good deeds by them. By the way, the singing was beautiful. It's getting better every day. It's getting better every week. Isn't it? I don't even like it. It sounds great in here. But it'd be much more encouraging with 30 people instead of 17, with 60 people instead of 30, and with 150 instead of 60. I can see us at 150. At that point, we're negotiating for that other room, and I can see 400 or 500 and the fire marshal giving us passes in that room. 2 years. Not even. Can you? How bad? Can you taste it? Do you hurt for it? We've been baptized into Christ Jesus for a new life, haven't we? Why were we saved? To go to heaven. Were we saved to be comfortable? Or were we saved really from our comfort? Weren't we? We were saved from our rest and from our comfort so that we could enter into His rest and be given His comfort. Weren't we? A real, true comfort. And isn't that the plea then? Why am I saying this? Because I'm fighting the devil for somebody's soul this morning. I'm fighting the devil for your soul. The only way I know how to do it is to preach the word. The passages say the rest. The passages have really said it. And even all the words between the reading of these passages were quotations from other passages. Some of you recognize that. Will we repent? Will we all that are here this morning take upon us the mantle of the prophet? Will we all take upon us the burden of responsibility of calling those that were not here this morning? Next week, next Friday and Saturday, and making sure they're here. Besides calling them this afternoon. And when they get irritated and they get mad at us, will we weep openly for them? In front of them. How many of you can envision people screaming in horror and terror? And those that could not be here, that wanted to so desperately because that's their practice and that's their love. And that's where they get built up and that's where they find their strength, but they just couldn't be here this morning. Will you weep with them? Will you labor over them? Will you add them to your prayer list? Let that not happen again. Let it not become a habit. Will you do that? I think a number of us this morning need to repent. I think we've gotten distracted. We're so busy. Richard Rogers preached a lesson not long ago. You know what it was called? Being busy with the schedule, with no people. On the schedule, with no people. Or being busy with no people. Busy doesn't mean fruitful. Busy doesn't mean loving. Busy doesn't mean concerned. Busy just means busy. We ought to be busy. We ought to be busy. We're supposed to be busy, but it's to be busy in the work of the Lord. And pleading. When Jesus looked out and reached out to Jerusalem, he looked out and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have killed the prophets and those who were sent to you before. How many times I've longed to take you under my wings as a hen shelters her chicks. Lovingly. But you wouldn't let me." He pleads with Jerusalem for 3 years until they finally kill him. They were going to kill him, but he didn't, and he knew it, didn't he? Right from the beginning, he knew he came to die. He knew they'd kill him, but they didn't stop him from pleading. They're not going to listen anyway. They don't want to hear. So we're going to justify not talking to them, aren't we? Huh? I mean, have we? And what did God say? God says repent of that. Because I gave you an example of my son. He talked to people when they didn't want to hear him. In fact, they had to kill him to shut him up. And even that didn't work. Because I raised him up. And if you walk with me, they can't shut you up either. Because I'll raise you too. I promise. That's the promise of God, isn't it? That's the good news. And if God be for us, the book of Romans says, then who can be against us? And so act in faith. Act according to the word. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Depend on God's. And reach out and share the gospel with your brother, with your sister, and with your neighbor. If you need to repent, if you need to pray for the rest of us here, whatever you need, we'd ask you to come forward and stand and sing at the invitation song, 681.
Just as I am with...
says. As you have your visions for the future and as you get dashed on the rocks, are you going to feel betrayed and deceived and you're going to say, oh Lord, you persuaded me. You got me through that stupid preacher to start thinking about visions and dreams and every one of them seems to be full flat on their face and it was good for a while, for 2 weeks, and we were all excited and now I don't know what's happened. I've lost sight of all that. Where are we going? And I'm tired. The Lord says, rest. I'm hungry. Eat. I'm thirsty. Drink. I want to die.
Look up.
Get busy. Start glorying in your weakness and I'll do great things with you. Trust in me. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. I got my answer. So I could preach this lesson without tears this morning. Because I got my answer. I'm trying to share it with you. This is what you need to remember this week and next week. And you will accomplish those great things. And you will fulfill those dreams. And you will reach those visions. God will bless you in that. Because now you won't operate on your own strength. You won't do it on your own strength. You'll do it purely on His strength. That's the key. And that's the blessing in this. If you need to respond to the lesson, we'd ask you to come forward and sit on the front row. Let us know your prayer request as we stand and sing the song of invitation 681.